The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hi, I'm Paco Romain.
And I'm George Chen.
You're listening to Sup Doc, a show where we talk to interesting people with strong opinions about their favorite documentaries.
On today's episode, we examine Sirius by filmmaker Amardeep Kalika. Sirius examines the life and work of Dr. Stephen Greer and his claims of existing energy technologies that would change the world, and we'd tell you more, but we'd have to kill you.
And we caught up with comedian, mindcaster, seeker, Ryan Singer.
Ryan Singer.
Hey.
Good to see you again.
Hey, great
Welcome
to be seen.
To the
Sup Doc podcast.
Right. I was going to say the Cat Ranch, and I realized that's a different podcast.
No, yeah, that's not. Yeah,
I wish that was ours.
Yeah. Altogether.
Mark
I'm like,
Maron
what am I thinking?
Stole our idea 10 years before we started this podcast.
We are in the neighborhood.
We
oh,
are
the
right,
Cat
right,
Ranch.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah. Island Park, I thought.
I went
right?
to my buddy's house in Highland Park.
Obama's coming here next week.
Yeah. Okay.
I went to my buddy's house in Highland Park, and he's like, you know I live across the street from Mark Maron. And I was like, nuh-uh. And he's like, yeah, the Secret Service were on his front porch when Mark had President Obama there. And I was like, no way. And he goes, yeah, look across the street. And I looked, and there was a beat-up Toyota, and it had a WTF bumper sticker on it.
Yeah, that's the car I bought from him.
You bought
a silver Camry, right?
Yes!
Yeah, that's right out. It's right down the street right now.
Shut up!
I bought that car
from him. You bought his old car?
Yeah,
no way! You bought.
So he got a new Camry.
Bunch of CDs in it? Anything?
Yeah, what was in it?
No, he cleared it out.
Like,
he's actually a really clean person.
I can see that.
There was very few things ever in his car whenever like I'd be in his car or something.
And you guys tour together a lot or do shows together?
We used to. I toured with him for about 3 years. This was, I don't know, 2011, 2010 through like 2012, 13. Mm-hmm. I was opening for him pretty regularly on a 3 year period, yeah.
And awesome. You've been living out here this whole time? Or were
I
you
moved
still
out here
living in Ohio?
2011.
Okay.
From where?
From Ohio, Dayton, Ohio.
Oh.
The home of Wright Patt Air Force Base, where is allegedly the alien bodies from the Roswell crash were taken.
Where?
So as you can imagine, I have very homegrown interest in what we're going to talk about
it's
today.
It's also where my uncle, who is an Air Force captain and a propulsion engineer, lives and works and was part of the Blue Book project.
Oh, wow.
In Dayton, Ohio.
Oh, wow. Which, we've got some family connection to one of the most infamous and notorious alien, not cover-up, but investigation situations here.
Can you guys explain it to me? I don't know this one.
Oh, my God. The Blue Book, there's so many things, because I just discovered something recently called the Blue Planet Project, which is different than Project Blue Book,
right.
Which is different than Project Paperclip, which is about after the war with the Nazis chasing them to Antarctica, where they had UFOs that beat the shit out of us. Or can I say shit?
Yes.
And then we retreated, and that's where all the theories about like how the Nazis are still in this secret base in Antarctica, maybe they've died off now because then later UFOs were in the White House, which wasn't covered in this documentary that you watched.
This is Blue Book.
In 1950-something... oh gosh. But Project Blue Book, if I'm not mistaken, is a government organized top secret project with a bunch of different, it's like cross departmental, high level officials researching and trying to find out the truth about trying to collect evidence about any UFO sightings and things like that to try to track them down. Basically, they're the task force that's supposed to investigate UFO sightings and encounters that are happening.
Security.
Yeah. And it was stopped in the early 60s because they were like, okay, we really didn't gather any information or much pertinent information, and they closed the books on it. But it's never really been released, all the information they'd gotten from that. Those studies and stuff, but my uncle is a propulsion engineer and was in the Air Force, and he was part of that, and he lives in Dayton, Ohio.
Oh, my God, because, All of a sudden, I'm like, I need to talk to your uncle.
Yeah.
Because Wright-Patt Air Force Base in Dayton, Ohio, has the Air Force's, like, most expensive... Well, I shouldn't say that because I don't know for sure. But there's a research lab, an advanced technology research lab at Wright-Patt Air Force Base that has like a multi-billion dollar budget on a yearly basis. Because one of the generals or one of the guys, I think it was a colonel or general, or no, General McCasland, who was in charge of it, is now part of a current disclosure project wanting people to know about the technology that we have been using.
Right.
And that we reverse engineered from... alien craft. And if your uncle is a propulsion engineer,
he is, yeah.
Chances are he's got some kind of information
right.
about trying to reverse engineer the propulsion and trying to figure out how these beings are actually traveling to Earth.
Right. Mm-hmm. According to my brother, when I asked about him, and this was in a text last night, he said, our uncle is he's an aeronautical engineer that worked on propulsion. But despite our family's best effort to liquor him up and get him to talk about Project Blue Book, he never would. Maybe you should call him.
Oh, my gosh. That's so funny because my grandpa was a colonel in the Air Force.
Yeah.
And that's why my family, that's like where half of my family rooted in Dayton, Ohio,
too. Did you ever... Yellow Springs? Anybody in Yellow Springs?
Nobody in Yellow Springs, okay. But Yellow Springs is right great. There. It's a great little hippie town.
Yeah.
That's where I bought my first incense many years ago when I was in high school.
Nag Champa or what? What are we talking?
I don't even remember what it was.
Gotcha.
But it's also the first time I heard of Das Effects, because Das Effects was playing on the speakers in this like crystal shop. And I was like, this is the coolest place in the world.
Yeah.
Because they weren't everywhere back then.
Yeah.
You know? And... But apparently Dave Chappelle's buying up like half the town.
Right. That's where he's from, is Yellow Springs.
Yeah, he's got a place out there. He's originally from D.C. But he's got farmland out right out by Yellow Springs.
His parents taught there?
His mom was a teacher at Antioch,
right.
Which is like a real hippie liberal arts place where it's like you don't apply there. Like, this was even years ago. You didn't send in a written application.
Right.
You kind of made a video.
Well, they checked your aura.
Film or whatever. Right? Yeah, they may have checked your aura to see, you know, what classes you should take.
Right.
Now, Ryan, like, one of the reasons I knew you do another podcast, which is all about, was me and Paranormal You.
Yeah.
So you do a lot of discussions about, I knew you were going to have a good one for us to talk about. And the documentary you chose to talk about today is Sirius. Which is like a 2-hour-long movie that is available on Netflix. And if you were going to pitch to someone why they should watch Sirius, what would be your short summation?
Oh, I think it's easy.
Okay.
If you are a person who thinks about our place in the universe at all, and you understand that mathematically it's very likely that there is other life in the vastness of the universe. You are interested in aliens, and you probably believe they exist, even though you haven't seen evidence for them. This documentary shows you that not only is there evidence, but there are people keeping it from you. And it is the biggest crime against humanity that's ever happened.
Well, there you go. That's pretty good.
And that leads to, when we're talking about the disclosure project, well, should we set up what's going on in this documentary?
Yeah.
So it starts with Santa Monica, 2012, and people have paid to come to this lecture by a guy you're introduced to, this guy who's got a nerdy face, but is real jacked.
That's
Dr. Stephen Greer.
He's
a jacked dude who loves polo shirts.
Yeah, he does.
And
it shows your arm. Polo shirts really show your biceps.
Yeah.
And he's known for kind of, I think he's kind of, it's kind of funny, like in the world that, you know, I spend a lot of time in this world. He's kind of known for like, he's very known for this. Like,
for being a jacked
dude. You know, he's
dude.
Like, hey, I'm in shape and I don't mind you knowing.
He's like, yeah, it's like Putin. He'll just be shirtless or something. But yeah, and then he talks about this dead man's trigger or like this thing that's like, if something were to happen to me, a bunch of evidence is going to be released. Like, he's got some kind of insurance policy, which I guess is this documentary, or no? He's got
no,
more
No, I don't.
Secrets.
It is not the documentary,
to
the best of my estimation, but it is a very dramatic, great way to lock a viewer in to a movie, because essentially it's a movie,
mm-hmm.
even if it's a documentary. You have to use dramatic techniques and effects to get listeners sucked in, so then you can kind of give them a bunch of information. I do not doubt that he has a dead man's trigger, which is a bunch of dirt and information on people in power that they would not want released because it could essentially, quote unquote, ruin their respective careers.
Right.
And so knowing that it would be released if anything were to happen to him, because there is a trail of bodies in this documentary.
Right, there really is. There is like,
and it's not like a joke. It's not fabricated.
Yeah, I mean, legitimately, I think the one that struck me was the two other people he was working very closely on this. They all came down with cancer around the same time. He's the only one that survived.
Well, and he is Dr. Stephen Greer.
Yeah, right? Dr. Stephen Greer.
That's who we're talking about. Yes. Dr. Yeah. Stephen Greer, who is
the protagonist of the piece, I'd
he's
say.
He's the protagonist and one of the... Is he... Would you call him a founder in this study?
I would say he is one of the leading... proponents or pushing... He's one of the guys who... He is one of the leaders in the disclosure movement, for sure. I mean, he's been out there for a long, long time. I mean, especially considering he developed a new CE category.
The CE5.
The CE5 category.
Close Encounters.
So when it comes to disclosure, he definitely is one of... You know, he's basically one of the, like, what I don't know enough about
rock
engines.
Star
I was
going to
say
it.
Turbines powering the vehicle. He's definitely at the heart of
not
it.
Not merely a cog, but a driving wheel in the machinery.
Yes, exactly. And he has sacrificed almost everything for it. I mean, it's seemingly. I mean, I don't know the guy. I've never met him. But and you never see his wife or see any of his children in the documentary. But my suspicion is that he is in such good shape because of the cancer scare.
Yeah.
And everything that he's like, okay, I am going to physically take care of myself in a way that I can try to ensure my health so I can be alive for this to happen.
And he's a doctor from North Carolina. I don't know what kind of doctor.
He was an emergency care doctor.
Oh, emergency care doctor.
If I remember correctly.
North Carolina. Medical doctor, not a PhD doctor, yeah.
Yeah.
And he, I was going to say, do you remember before this election a couple months ago when Hillary Clinton said if she got elected, she was going to talk about the aliens?
Yes, I do. I remember that very specifically. Yeah. And then she had the caveat, the get-out-of-jail-free card that they all use, as long as it doesn't threaten national security, which means she's never going to give it.
Well, didn't President Obama say before he's out he was going to release information?
There's been rumors about that Obama wanted to be, quote-unquote, the disclosure president because it would win him another Nobel Prize. Because if you are the person who lets the world know about alien contact, you change everything for the history of the world forever.
Right.
There is nothing in our society that does not change. I mean, you can, and some people might, when I said there's no, earlier when I said there was, this is the greatest crime against humanity ever, if in fact it's true, some people might be saying, well, you're forgetting about the Holocaust and you're forgetting about all this stuff. But what I'm asking people to do is, you know, take a second, take a breath, open your mind, and think about the implications, how it affects every single thing that happens on this earth. Not now we're not worried about minimum wage, you know, being increased. We're worried about like intergalactic wages. We are worried, you know, now we can travel anywhere, well, at least a lot more places in the universe. We now have free, sustainable energy and power. We no longer rely on gas, oil, coal, like all these things that Greer talks about. We no longer have shortages. We have clean energy. The earth is saved. Yeah. There is no longer the military-industrial complex as we know it now, which drives literally everything.
What I was going to ask is, what always gets me is, what would be stopping the why are they stopping the information from coming out? And also, wouldn't it behoove the military-industrial complex to have a bigger threat involved? Wouldn't it make them more money? Wouldn't they want it out?
Yeah, I think they referenced Wernher von Braun about this when he was talking about the evolution of the threat.
Yeah.
And aliens are next. But it's an evolution of threat. It does, you know, they, you know, so to me, whether or not that's accurate or not, it makes sense that you keep
introduce
building.
Because
it's like ISIS is small potatoes versus an otherworldly, you know, problem, you know.
Sure, but the problem with ISIS, too, is that it's so small potatoes, but it's also there's American people here on American soil now who could be ISIS agents, you know, like, or who are being, so now the threat is smaller, but it's secret and everywhere. And that's where, I mean, we're living in a world right now, which is, you know, by most accounts, kind of spun out of control. You know, if you, I mean, when you step outside of the United States of America bubble that we're in, you can kind of catch your breath a little bit. But when it comes to normalizing, that's a big word that's being used now. We're normalizing Trump or whatever. But when it comes to the way people are disnormalized, if you want to say that, I mean, this is going to sound crazy, and I know it sounds crazy to people listening, but the fact that the word truther has negative connotations is insane to me. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, someone who has questions that are still unanswered, like, why will you not release all of the video footage of the plane hitting the Pentagon? You have them. That would shut everybody up.
Yeah, we've never seen that.
That would shut everybody up who says it was a missile, right? Mm-hmm. But if you're a truther, now you're crazy? Like, you want truth and now you're crazy. Like, that's how, like, that word got disnormalized in a way. And so, like, that's the world we're living in. I call it coming out of the attic. People who talk about their experiences with ghosts or their encounters with aliens or their belief in this stuff, right?
Not coming out of the closet.
Yeah, yeah, you're coming out of the attic. And because the scientists and all the doctors on this documentary even talk about it. It's like you're putting your career on the line.
Yeah.
It's 2016 and you're still putting your career on the line just by wanting to research this
stuff. That's what surprised this guy from Stanford is pretty open about what he's doing, and he's looking at the results. Well, it seems like he's getting the info from Spain. He's getting all the MRI reads and the DNA. Well, no, he's getting some samples that he's running in the Stanford lab for sure. Yeah. But yeah, I was sort of like surprised. I'm like, I wonder what blowback he got from doing this film.
Yeah, and I think the importance of the documentary shows the strength in numbers when it comes to all of the different witnesses that Dr. Greer lined up for this. They're exponential. And, you know, unfortunately, a few of them are now dead. And
oh, since 2012.
Well, the one guy, Malove or Mal.
Yeah, well, he was died. Yeah, he died.
He was beaten to death in his childhood home.
Right. Yeah.
And then, like, I think it was, did they say 8 years later? Finally, the guy got sentenced, found and guilty, and sentenced to 16 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that guy, you know, and the people with the water car, the water engine inventor.
Yeah, the water engine guy. He's British, right?
Yeah. It's just there's. If you assume that there is foul play here, you have to assume there's a reason this information is being suppressed. Mm-hmm. And it's being suppressed because they're making a shit ton of money off of the current
petrochemical.
I mean, everybody knows the oil people and the bankers. They're the richest people in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when oil no longer is a thing, guess what? Those people suddenly don't have their income anymore or don't have their control over everything anymore.
Right.
And but it becomes a dangerous situation for them.
Sure. Well, nobody wants to give up power.
No.
That's why it seems to me if they wanted even more power and more money, the next big threat would be reveal the fucking aliens. Because, like, ISIS is small. Russia is small potatoes versus an intelligent life form that could potentially do
harm.
But
this is the wild card here is the aliens.
Right.
Because this is the big wild card.
Okay.
What are the aliens going to do? Now, I believe that we have been through a long campaign of disinformation. Most times I hear people say, oh, but man, people would freak out and all this other kind of stuff. You know, people would freak. There'd be, you know what? And I think that is bullshit that's been fed to everyone to feel comfortable not being told the truth. Mm-hmm. And I'm really tired of that we'd all freak out argument because I think it's a poison pill that's been fed to all of us for too many years because, if anything, we underestimate the ability of the human being to adapt. We've been on this planet for billions of years in some form or another. Clearly, we evolve and clearly we adapt very quickly to our surroundings and to our new... I mean, we've survived... Some form of us has survived ice ages somehow, right? So it's like we can survive this very easily, I think. And if someone can travel through space and time, my guess is that they're a little more evolved emotionally. When it comes to the disclosure alien thing, a friend of mine pointed out, well, maybe the aliens are not allowing it to be disclosed.
Whoa.
Which I never really considered. Because if you think that hypothetically or theoretically aliens maybe have been visiting this Earth for millions of years, if you get into the ancient alien theory.
Which they talk about in this film.
Yeah,
they have that,
and so
that
if you get
that.
Into the point where aliens have been here theoretically or hypothetically longer mm-hmm. than humans have, they view this as their planet. Mm. Which I've never considered. And so if they view this as their planet, they find themselves in a position of leverage, especially with technology and you know, knowledge and all that kind of stuff, knowing that, no, we don't want you to let all of your other friends know about us yet. And we will let you know when that's allowed. And you cannot do that because the consequences will be dire. Not because we're going to attack you. But because you're not ready for it yet.
And they enjoy their...
Which is the...
Which is
kind of
like the argument you're not ready for it.
Yeah, so...
You're not ready for this alien jelly.
Yeah, but I do have to keep my mind open to all possibilities that maybe the aliens do not want us to be... And there's a nefarious angle where people say the aliens, they work in secret and they have this agreement with our government and the governments of the world where they take and they can take people and perform experiments and all this other kind of stuff in exchange for giving us, the military people, technology.
Many of the craft that are coming in are transdimensional, and the way I understand it, not visible to the human eye. And that's where this new technology, the night vision, that's where that's coming into play in.
With the advent of new technology that's out there, it becomes easier and easier for us to capture these beings and these celestial objects on film.
After you do the night vision, it has that green hue, of course. And after a while, when you get back to real life, you're thinking, why isn't everything green? This can't be reality.
Hey, listeners, are you looking for a new source of documentaries? I know I am.
Well, guess what? There's an app for that. It's called Guide Doc.
That's right, Guide Doc. Discover and watch the world's best hand-picked and award-winning documentaries from around the globe.
There's a new must-see documentary up on the app every day. For example, Sons of Perdition, which is a documentary from 2010 about teens that were cast out of their fundamentalist Mormon community.
Sounds like my upbringing, George. Now sign up through the app and stream all Guide Doc movies for one low monthly subscription of just $4.99.
Yeah, go to guidedoc.tv/subdoc to enter your email address for a chance to get a free month of Guide Doc. That URL again is guidedoc.tv/subdoc. And you can also get Guide Doc in the iOS App Store.
And now back to Subdoc.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I want to kind of backtrack because, like, have you been on into this stuff for since you were like in high school, or like how did you?
No,
get
I mean, I've always, I think, like most people, I've always been fascinated by aliens. I mean, I don't know who's not really, who doesn't.
Oh, I mean, I remember growing up, and I'm like, there would be like daytime TV, and there would be alien abduction stuff and like exorcism stuff. I'm like, I believe this more than this.
Sure.
I definitely am more of an alien guy than an exorcism guy.
It doesn't take a leap of faith to believe in aliens. You don't
because
have to believe in a god to believe in a ghost.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I always, more people believe in aliens than believe in God anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Are they the new gods?
The most part. Like, how high do your beliefs go? You know what I mean? How high in the sky
Fargo?
Do you believe?
The TV show?
I'm just now finishing season one.
Oh, okay.
So I'm like episode 8 of season
Are
one.
Are they getting into alien shit on Fargo?
I didn't say anything.
Okay. Shit.
I don't. Yeah, we'll have to.
You might love this show.
No, I love Fargo so far. I just finished Battlestar Galactica a couple days ago.
Yeah, like I grew up as a sci-fi guy. Is that also with you? A lot of sense.
Yeah, I mean, I do love sci-fi. I mean, I love Star Trek and all that kind of stuff. I've never been like die hard into it. Like I kind of just went to baseball and like baseball cards and loved baseball and fantasy baseball. But I've always loved the alien stuff and. it's actually been the last like 6 months that I've really been going like deep into like the Jeremiah Sitchin stuff about the Anunnaki, about the theory that, you know, humans are, we're just hybrids of an alien and a humanoid race that was put here to mine gold for other aliens to help their atmosphere, blah, blah, blah. And then the Great Flood happened, you know, 14,000 years ago. Whoa. I mean, if you get into Graham Hancock, okay. Fingerprints of the God is the book that he published, I think, in 1994.
That's an Ancient Aliens one?
Yeah, he's kind of, but he's an archaeologist, uh-huh. You know, but it's a thick book. It's like a textbook, essentially. And then his sequel just came out because he finally found his smoking gun, mm-hmm. The comet, the catastrophic event that changed everything on the Earth roughly 14,000 years ago. Because most, if not all, ancient civilizations have the same great flood story.
Uh-huh.
And they also have a very common theme of this being, this godlike creature emerging from the water on some kind of magical ship or something, mm-hmm. that gives them technology. And in separate documentaries and different reports, there is the guy who was in charge, who was above Wernher von Braun in the Nazi space and like technology department, when asked about like the Nazi bell, which is a famous device of like, kind of unknowable, like what the fuck is this thing, mm-hmm. right? There's the guy who was above von Braun said, you know, when asked about like, oh man, wow, the Nazi scientists, you guys have made all these crazy advancements, like it was it's amazing how far ahead you were, mm-hmm. and that guy is on record saying these were given to us, we didn't make these. We didn't come up with these. These were given to us.
The Nazi's not going to take credit for something.
That's when, yeah. you know. But and at the same time, you want to ask yourself, hey, aliens.
Yeah.
Why are you giving it to the Nazis?
It's kind of, it's a level of complicity that is hard to like.
Yeah.
It's kind of, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if you remove morality and everything like that, maybe they were just the first people they came in. I don't know. I don't know any of these answers.
It's like the plot of Hellboy also, I think.
Yeah.
Almost,
but this documentary really opens you up to, mm-hmm. the idea of, well, it opens up rightfully or wrongfully, it opens up the 9/11 issue, which I think it could have done without. It opens up the ancient alien issue.
It opens up a lot.
It opens up the cover-up issue, which I think it's clear because of all of the. I think he's got what
Tesla
200
too.
Over 200 witnesses.
Yeah, the final disclosure. All the little faces.
These are former military. Mm-hmm. They're doctors. They're all kinds of.
Well, not the CE5 people. The CE5 people are just like fans, right?
Well, a lot of those people who partake in that are actually doctors and stuff too. Yeah. You know what I mean? In their personal, in their professional lives. Mm-hmm. And then it opens you up to MUFON, which is the Mutual UFO Network,
which
is okay, which is cool. And I guess at the time of the documentary, they said, I think it was roughly like 25% of their members were all PhDs. Yeah. But MUFON, it's interesting because MUFON isn't here in LA anymore. It transformed into a group called UPARS, which I'm a member of.
UPARS, okay.
It's the UFO Paranormal Research Society. Okay. They meet on the third Tuesday of every month here in Los Angeles in Studio City, if you're interested. Here I am like,
oh, nice.
People, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I just joined a few months ago, and they give great talks.
Are the dues?
The dues are $20 a year.
Yeah.
And if you're a member, it's $10 every time you want to go see a meeting to see the guest speaker. Like this month, a guy's giving evidence in showing you the Bigfoot cast they found in Washington, and also there's a woman giving a famous woman giving a talk about her ET contact experience.
And it's MUFON, not MUFON.org.
Or no, it's MUFON.
FON. It's because I'm like, it sounds like MUFON.org.
It kind of does. Yeah.
So yeah.
They're
tied
together.
Mutual UFO Network
and
is what
so
it stands for.
Let me ask you this, sir. Are you interested because you want, what is the end game that you're seeking? Do you want pure all information? Do you want just more evidence? What is it that you would like ultimately?
Well, the end game is, you know, I think it's leveled. There's layers.
Sure.
You know, part of it is very just immature. Like, tell me.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to have information I don't have.
This is
bullshit. Mm-hmm. You know, a large part of it is that. It's just like, hey, you're not more important than me. Because to me, when it comes to disclosure, and in fact, if there is a cover-up, which I believe there is, and if it's not aliens making them withhold the information from us, mm-hmm. basically what it boils down to is you have people in this government or in secret ops of mm-hmm. the government who think they're more important than us and that they're more privileged than us. Mm-hmm. And we don't deserve the information because we're not as quote-unquote good as they are in some way, right? And to me, that's bullshit. And that stands against the equality, because I do believe that every person on this earth has equal value. And they're the same people, in my opinion, who would fight tooth and nail to keep the Electoral College.
I definitely feel with this film, and tell me what you think, it does feel like there is a cult of personality that's being created around Dr. Stephen Greer.
It seems
in
cultish.
This film. It's just that it, I mean, he is the hero. He's sort of the hero of the piece. And do you view him as a personal hero in a way at all?
I don't view him as a personal hero.
No, yeah.
I view him as someone who has taken, you know, great risk in his own life and put a lot of his reputation on the line for 20 plus years now.
Mm-hmm. They certainly strap. He's got a gun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, his guy's got a gun.
His security.
Yeah.
His boyfriend?
You know what? I kind of get that vibe.
Yeah. You got that vibe? I didn't pick up on that.
I got that
you
vibe.
Mentioned
I mean,
that.
I don't know.
Yeah. Either way.
Yeah.
But like a guy with a gun is like hanging out with him all the time. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're both like real buff.
They're buff
real
dudes. Buff,
you know? Yeah. They're very close.
Yeah. No, yeah. And I guess when you trust someone with your life, you better be close with them.
They kind of implied that, I think her name is Maria Bravo, that there is some kind of, she came in, she swooped in to be like a benefactor.
Dr. Jan Bravo?
Jan Bravo. And so there's sort of this weird, like, is there a thing with those guys?
I think it's very open to speculation in this area. And as humans, obviously, we get into this gossipy kind of frame of mind, because like you never see his wife, you never see his kids, he doesn't really talk about them much except like really in a past tense.
Yeah.
So
his partner who died was also a romantic partner, or
I don't know.
It was unclear.
I don't know.
Yeah, it was unclear. Yeah.
I don't know anything about all that
personal
stuff,
life
but like
stuff,
I do understand that there is kind of a cult of personality that has developed around him a little bit, and I guess it comes with the gig, to a certain degree, but like, if he walked in right now, I wouldn't start shaking and being like, oh, my God.
Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God.
Here.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
I was reading some subreddit stuff about Dr. Greer and about Sirius and stuff. And there was some people complaining that they've been to some meetings and it would seem very cultish to them. And that he was just as enamored with paranormal or aliens as he was with how much he could bench. Because apparently he talks about that in his speeches.
Oh, really?
He talks about how much weight he's throwing up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, do you
anti-gravity
even,
right here.
Do you even lift, bro? Was the name of one of his... No, I'm joking. Yeah. I guess like some people have been... You know, people pay good money to go to this, and I guess he would like talk about some of this... You know, show some slides, and then would also talk about like how much he bench presses.
It felt a very Tony Robbins-y, like
it
in
does.
The very beginning.
That's what
I was like. I was thinking. Well, I wrote that in my notes. I'm like,
yes.
It's like, is this a fucking Tony Robbins thing?
Well, when we talked about it off through our Slack thing, I was like, it's almost more propaganda than documentary in my mind, because it reminded me of the Tony Robbins documentary. Someone who self finances documentary about what they're doing.
Yeah, it was crowdsourced.
I was confused when you said propaganda, because I don't feel like it has. It's just like the things that he's generally critiquing, I think it's like fine. I would agree with like, let's critique the military industrial complex. That's something.
But
I'm
he's not
with.
An unbiased.
No. Just, I don't think. I don't think a lot. I mean, that's the thing about with some documentaries. It's clearly there's an agenda here.
Yeah.
I just think the way it just cracks open all the cans. And then lets the air kind of go out of them is not problematic, but just like makes it a hard movie to watch.
Well, yeah, there's not a lot of follow up to what they're presenting.
Well, because I mean, let's get to the 6-inch guy. Because
there's the problem with a lot of this stuff too. Is when it comes to like secret groups, shadow government, classified documents, above top secret, super above super secret, top secret, or whatever else they call this shit.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, backing up some of this stuff beyond one eyewitness or one key figure becomes almost nearly impossible, at least until more people come forward, if in fact it's legitimate.
Well, the fact that they throw out this thing of all the trail of bodies, it's like if I was him, I mean, I guess you want to talk about bravery. If he believes this and he also is like, I'm just doing it with full awareness that I could just get murdered or given cancer again. Then kudos. He's doing.
I think
the work.
I'm convinced he definitely believes it.
Yeah. So that makes. but any kind of exposure yeah. seem like how close of a reveal are they doing to?
But I think you brought up a good point about the argument between documentary versus propaganda. And I think if you wanted to, and I just thought of this when you were talking about it, and I've watched it twice now, is there's a moment in this documentary where maybe the tide turns. And I'm not saying it's propaganda, I mean, but I can keep hopefully enough awareness to be like, this definitely isn't just this unbiased filmmaker. And I think the switch happens. And if you remember back when they're out in the desert, and they're doing the CE5 yeah, stuff, and they chanting. See that thing, and they see the unidentified flying object, whatever it is, shows up,
mm-hmm.
and then it starts moving away, and then disappears because a military craft shows up.
Yes, I do remember that.
And the documentary, or the documentarian, the filmmaker, Amardeep, I believe his name mm-hmm. was, is on camera, talking about how crazy it was what just happened. Mm-hmm. So there you have the switch. You have the filmmaker in front of the camera now mm-hmm. suddenly talking about like, holy shit, I saw this.
Yeah.
I was just here making this documentary and I probably already believed in it anyway.
Yeah.
But boom, I just saw it. Now I'm talking on camera about it.
Yeah.
So there from then on out, the documentary, now he's fully invested in this cause and this, you know, mm-hmm. whether you want to call it a cult or not.
Yeah.
I mean, there's spirituality, there's meditation, there's all these like guru-ish type things yeah. happening when you have a man leading you in meditation that will promise to give you evidence of something that is greater than yourself. That falls in line with guru cult type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, for sure you can make that leap and you could probably make a decent argument for it. And I think that's the watershed moment, the turning point in the documentary. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Yeah, and they do show that the video, then they kind of drill it down to
is that the one where
magnify it
yeah. and they compare it to a satellite and they compare yeah. it to a military plane and,
is that yeah. the one where it sort of like goes does a full and thing they say, around the plane and then
or
goes,
no that's when they just say a missile one. It's sitting there one. And it starts moving and then the object itself shifts turns yeah. and then disappears and shoots right. out. They're showing how it went from a hover mode mm-hmm. to like a turn to flee mode.
Yeah.
The thing is like the whole CE5 objective is that you can summon
mm-hmm.
the aliens to show up by having pure intention and by having a group of people that don't have an agenda other than to see or to witness. And that's when I'm just like, that's...
Well, yeah, that's some like hippie new age shit yeah. that I love and I'm into that.
Oh, okay.
And especially when you get to one of the final parts of the documentary where the guy who used to be in charge of, what was it, Lockheed Martin Skunk Works?
Yes.
Skunk Works, yeah.
And he Great says, name. We have the guy who used to be in charge of all that.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, we have the technology to take ET home. And then he says, and how does ESP work?
Right.
Which is stuff I love. I'm
okay,
into that
remote
stuff.
Viewing.
Extrasensorial uh-huh. perception, right?
Right.
And,
okay.
And then the guy says, well, I just kind of said, because something like consciousness is like all points in time and space all at once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, exactly.
Yep. Right.
And so if you believe in that everything is connected and we are all one and consciousness is just one mind in the universe.
Yeah.
Then yeah, it works.
It's that thing again, though, where guy yeah. who was apparently had the information is talking in riddles. It's like...
Oh, the guy from Lockheed.
Yeah.
Was telling, I think yeah, was it Malov that he was talking to about that?
No.
It wasn't Malov. Okay.
Yeah, that guy...
Because Malov is dead by 90...
Yeah,
the
he
90s.
That's the yeah. guy who was beat to death in his
yeah,
childhood.
Yeah, right. 2001 or something.
But it's once again, it's one of those, like, it's like a fairy tale almost.
Sure, there's leaps of faith here.
Yeah, where, like, if the person that has all this information is going to tell you in a riddle and then wink and walk off into the sunset, it's kind of like, why would he do that? Why would he speak in riddles, you know? Why would
he can't be really pinned down to giving away confidential top-secret information mm-hmm. in that way, maybe. I mean, this is me making excuses yeah. for him, possibly, but...
I mean, a lot of this reminds me of Christianity. There's a lot, I feel, of similarities and parallels to Christianity, which is, like, blind faith. If you just believe it, the naysayers are just out to, like, ruin everyone's good time, and there's a lot of evidence, but no real tangible, concrete... you know,
The documentary made you think like
it just reminds me a lot of Christianity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, specifically more to me it's much more of a leap of faith in the paranormal world of like clairvoyance and things like that. I mean, unless you've had direct experience or, you know, witnessed things that make you a believer.
Yeah.
But with the alien and the disclosure thing, there actually are paper trails. There are eyewitnesses. People said, like, the Roswell thing is the biggest example. Mm-hmm. When the Air Force, right when it happened, made an announcement that we have found a UFO. And then the next day retracted it. And then that's the famous photo of the people. You know, and two of the people directly involved in the salvaging of the craft before their deaths said, this was fake. The photo was staged. These were not the things we found. We found a UFO. This was all a cover-up. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's well-documented that it's been a cover-up.
There's like a photo of a alien on a gurney, right? Is that...
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure if that's...
That's like a National Enquirer thing.
Yeah, or something.
But it's funny because the Men in Black movie, you know, talks about how they, like, the National Enquirer was actually the real news.
Right,
right.
But, yeah. You know, there's actually people out there who believe that stuff.
And
but,
you were talking... Like, I'm really fascinated now about the flat Earth idea.
Yeah, well, the flat Earth, I wouldn't really go too far.
I didn't even know
that. But if you
want
to believe... But to me, and I don't know enough about science or mathematics to understand this properly, but... If, in fact, this is a computer simulation, then the flat Earth, to me, becomes more plausible that there's even the smallest chance that it could be a thing. Maybe because I'm thinking of it as just a grid.
Right, like a video game. You only get what's in front of you.
Yeah, exactly. So in that sense, maybe potentially there could be some kind of flat Earth scenario that unfolds. But, like, I mean, I don't know. A friend of mine is a rocket scientist.
Mm-hmm.
And she has told me that some of the math that we are given to, and he touched on this in the documentary a little bit about how they were using to discredit patents.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember this part where they're talking about the standards and methods and the formula things they were using to discredit patents?
Yeah.
Right. It was all false. Bogus formula, it's one of those cans that gets opened that you don't really. Mm-hmm. You could have a whole documentary about it.
Yeah,
but to me, that's like, you know, she talks about, well, some of this math proves that some of the other things they tell us isn't accurate.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's one thing we know as humans is that we don't know everything, and hopefully science, you know, always eventually is proven wrong, because that means we're getting smarter. In learning more.
Right.
So to sit here and act like we have definitive truth about anything, including gravity, is insane to think that we know that we.
Well, there's an experiment they capture on film about some. And I was completely confused by what they were doing.
How it loses
was basically
mass.
Yeah, like an object spinning fast enough was losing mass and
losing
was therefore
weight, yeah.
creating gravity waves. I don't know what any of that
means. And I don't know what any of it means either. But I will say they talk about the. You know, the inertia fields.
Yeah.
Because when it comes to having an object like a UFO that can move at right angles so quickly.
They would smash all the people inside.
Molecularly at a biological level. Because, I mean, you can feel that inside of your body when you take a car
roller
too
coaster.
Fast.
Yeah.
Or totally. Roller coaster. So, you know, exponentiate G-forces. That speed or I don't even know if that's a word that I just used. But
I can attest to the fact that real phenomenon happens here. I really feel that his CE5 protocols are based on a spiritual kind of positive contact, and I think that that is an excellent model for any kind of communication, whether it be on Earth, in the United Nations, or wherever, but in this particular field, it's with cosmic cultures.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs. A gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What about Elon Musk? Do you have a lot of...
I love that guy.
Yeah. You do?
I mean, I went out and got a tour of SpaceX. If you know someone who works there, you can get a tour.
Oh, wow. Oh, preview of what they're trying to do to the Mars stuff?
Oh, man, I was sitting down at a cafeteria table with these two kids that looked like they were 14 years old, because the guy who was my personal guide, me and a friend of mine went, had to go to his office for something. So he's like, you always have to be with someone, because they don't do public tours. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you can get a tour, but they're doing tours every day.
Yeah.
There's nothing like, but obviously you're not going to go everywhere. And they're not going to show you everything. But, yeah. And these two kids I was sitting with, I was like, so what's up? They're like, what do you do? I was like, oh, I do stand-up comedy, blah, blah, blah. You know, that's how I met Rob. And they're like, I'm like, what are you guys up to? And they're like, oh, we're on the Mars program.
Wow.
I was like, oh, the Mars program? They're like, yeah, you know, we're working on, you know, trying to figure out, you know, the best, you know, we're working on all that, getting us to Mars. We're going to be there in a couple of years.
Wow.
And I was just like, you look like you're 16 years
old.
Yeah. Like, how smart? I'm like, how smart are you?
Yeah. Lift me up.
I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. I'm talking to these kids geniuses, who are like these little geniuses.
Yeah.
And it was really fascinating. And then you see these huge rockets they're building.
Wow.
And then you think about how they're the same for the most part. I mean, he's making the leap to recyclable.
Yeah.
That's his big thing, and that's what's so great about him.
That's awesome.
So, therefore, space travel doesn't become as expensive, and then, therefore, becomes able for a consumer to be able to do it.
Yeah.
Which is a huge step forward. But then you think about these secret space programs.
Yeah.
Like, if Elon Musk was, in fact, able to have access to that stuff, what could he be actually doing? And maybe he does.
I want the Hyperloop.
I want
that in my life.
That shit, yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be good. For you, it'd be particularly useful.
It'd be awesome, yeah, man.
Between here and doing the bay.
Traveling, doing gigs, touring, whatever. Like,
Greyhound don't float on water.
Fucking get in the Hyperloop so you can do Dr. Giggles in Toledo.
Oh, man, you could just be there. Oh, man, that would be great.
Yeah.
Or just a hologram performance. That also
be fine. Yeah, yeah.
What do you do, sir?
I've
been to SETI. I've been to the SETI that's in Mountain View.
Oh, that I want to go there.
Yeah, I don't know if it's just generally open to the public, but I think you could. If you're in the next time you're in the Bay, you just write and
see. I know it got shut down for a minute.
Yeah, the funding was an issue. Mm-hmm. I was there. It was kind of sad, as like a family friend worked there and was like a memorial service, but my aunt worked at NASA, so we knew people that were in astrophysics and like Neil deGrasse Tyson sent a video because he knew her.
Oh, wow.
And
you should, for our listeners, tell them what SETI stands for.
Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, I believe.
Yeah.
And it was just like an office park in South Bay. I mean, it's a peninsula office park. It's just like, it's less impressive than Google.
Right.
You know, and there were like banks of computers that were just kind of showing what's going on. I guess they have I thought a private company took over SETI.
Their
satellite fields out in like Arizona or whatever. But
in the movie Contact, I think, you know, really touches on all that too, which is a great one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah, my aunt had met Sagan. Yeah, had met Sagan at NASA before.
Wow.
It's funny because many people speculate that are really deep into this like conspiracy world about hidden space programs and things that Sagan was part of MJ-12, Majestic 12.
Wow.
Because he was this guy who was always really open-minded and trying to figure out stuff, and then when his mentor, who they allege, I can't remember the guy's name, was the original like public scientist kind of guy, part of MJ-12, when he died, Sagan took over, and all of a sudden Sagan became very kind of skeptic, like aliens and blah blah blah, things like that. But and some people suspect that Neil deGrasse Tyson has now replaced him.
He is our public intellectual.
And Neil deGrasse Tyson, I mean, the guy is great and brilliant. I just really hate how much shit he talks about people who say they've seen ghosts and all these other things.
Oh, right.
Like, I think I mean, on his I think he's even gone as far to say that they're, quote, fucking idiots. Like, I mean, the guy is like a very pop culture,
you know,
he's like the cool scientist guy for us now. And I feel like he's one step away from asking people to oil his genitals.
Right.
To be like, I'll give you information if you oil my genitals.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, I do love how he's made space. And space travel and all this other kind of stuff. He's done a really great job as far as, like,
sure,
you know. But he's walking that fine line of that Stephen Greer thing where it's almost cult-like.
Yeah, he's a celebrity.
Yeah, he definitely is a cult of personality around him.
Absolutely. And I like the idea of Carl Sagan wanting people to oil his genitals as well. Billions and billions of...
Oil my turtleneck.
Yeah.
The best part about the original Cosmos, too, is, like, when the way it starts where Carl Sagan's like, I had a dream.
Yeah.
And in this dream, and it's like, oh, wait. All this whole science program is just a dream. You had, bro.
Dude, Cosmos, the original Cosmos was so amazing. As a kid, I loved it so much.
I had a dream of doing this, and I probably still will, but then the new Cosmos came out, and it kind of, like, jammed me up, and I never got around. I just never got around to doing it quick enough. But I was going to have spoof the original Cosmos with Weinbach.
That's
I could see it. Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
that'd be great.
Maybe I'll still do
Brent Weinbach is like Carl Sagan type. Yeah, that is I can definitely see that.
Do you think like there's a way you can like expand or monetize on your brand and like be like the Learning Channel guy who like goes and is like the talking head to talk about all this stuff?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I think there's, I mean, I've definitely been approached about certain paranormal television show stuff, but I mean, I wouldn't consider myself an expert, you know, and I've had experiences that directly influenced me and opened me up and made me realize that the reality that most of us perceive to be, you know, final and truth is in fact, not the whole story. So, I don't know.
Or do you feel like you're pigeonholed as the guy who's into this stuff now?
Yeah, I don't know if I feel pigeonholed. I mean, because my stand-up comedy definitely has been influenced by all of the research and stuff I've been doing the past few years. So, like, my stand-up comedy is a lot about, right now, it's a lot about singularity and how I think we're robots and crystals and magic and stuff like that. But it's also about my inability to have a relationship that can last. Or
you still got to tie it. Everyone's got to tie it back.
How my mom's a weirdo and, you know, things like that. So, I don't know. I have an idea for a show that I want to do in the future, but it's more of like a paranormal John Oliver type of situation.
Okay. Where yeah.
you,
oh, nice.
You kind of really... But they're coming... I've been trying to sell shows, paranormal comedy-based shows, for 6 years.
Yeah? And you've written like a sitcom?
Yeah, I did
sitcom.
Like me and a friend of mine pitched a show called Kooks, where we were kind of trying to take the name back.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a paranormal daily show. Right, and we tried to sell that 5-6 years ago to HBO, to a bunch of different places, and they just kept saying the same thing. These people don't want jokes. And I kept telling them, I am one of these people, and we have senses of humor.
Yeah.
Right.
How do you think we survive? Like, you think people who are abducted by aliens don't have a sense of humor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're crazy.
Yeah.
Right? But now, the tide is turning. One out of every three people I meet has crystals in their pocket, it seems like, anymore. Now,
well,
production companies have recently approached me about, we want to do a paranormal comedy show, you know, because we think, and I was like, yeah, that's what I've been trying to do.
Yeah.
I've been, you know, that's what the Mindcast, I call it a Mindcast. I mean, that's how silly it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't even call it a podcast, but use a sense of humor, because if you lose your sense of humor, you lose the ability to be effective in communication.
Absolutely.
So I have to keep that in mind, just like everybody else does.
Mm-hmm.
But, I think it's the most effective way to communicate, obviously, because, you know, in the world of stand-up comedy, as we all know, we think that's the best way.
Yeah.
You make someone laugh, they really reconsider what maybe they disagreed with.
Well, maybe that's, to circle it back to the doc, I feel like there's not a lot of self-aware humor.
There wasn't levity in this.
There's no levity, which is fair because it's talking about conspiracy at a mass level and, like,
that's interesting
but I
that
feel
you
like
that
there's,
up.
But I feel like there's, like, where I feel like there's other docs we've seen, like, where there is some, if not a self-awareness from the subject, like a director having a self-awareness, or there could be a way to have made this have some, I guess, maybe that's what I was hoping it was going to be funny at some,
yeah.
in some way, or I thought it'd be a chuckle, but then I'm
I
just
mean,
like,
you have the Punisher
way, I'm looking
narrating
at,
it.
Yeah.
The Punisher was the narrator.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thomas
yeah.
Jane, Tom who Jane, I love yeah. Thomas Jane.
And yeah. Moby does the soundtrack. That's also funny. But I guess I'm just like, either way, I'm looking at a weird corpse.
Yeah.
I'm looking at a 6-inch corpse.
Right.
So that it's
lived,
not a
that
good
that lived
time.
To be six to eight years
old.
Which is seems impossible.
Like the boy in the cupboard, I guess.
Yeah.
And it's within the last 100 years is what they also determined.
Yeah.
So I'm like, the way that gets resolved, I don't know. We're not spoiling it for anyone to say.
No.
It's like 90% human.
Yeah.
And they like were able to identify the DNA of a mother, but then there's just like a chunk of information that doesn't match any
which really ties
science.
Into some crazy like other ancient astronaut theorists about the hybridization of humanoids and aliens. Making a separate race, which we are, or some people believe, you know.
Well, we've
from
also,
the Anunnaki.
Yeah, I mean, you've heard another theory that grays are just future uses, right?
Yes.
Yes, uh-huh. That's a common one, and we've mastered time travel, and that's why they're just doing like the stuff that Captain Kirk would do on Star Trek, like go back and be like, oh, try and kill Hitler, but then they don't. But they have the technology too, so they're trying not to step on the butterflies or whatever. I think is what this is like. I'm like, that sounds the most plausible out of all these things. I'm like, I could kind of believe grays are future uses. That seems possible. Like, once we all, like...
Well, their fingers are always longer.
Yeah.
And how many people are just always holding their cell phone?
Yeah.
So it stands to reason that, you know, over time... And evolution doesn't happen over 40 years. I mean...
No. Like,
you know, hundreds
like
and hundreds of...
Millennia,
and so we'll
yeah.
be past the cell phone.
Yeah.
You know, in another 15 years, people won't be walking around with cell phones probably anymore.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know.
Before we go, can we talk about the Montauk Monster? Do you have a thought on that?
You know, it's been a while since I really dug into it. Mm-hmm. I dug into that like a few years ago. I'm trying to remember.
2010,
more about
I think,
it.
When that came, or 2008 maybe.
And
when that washed up on the shore.
Yeah, it's I'd really have to refresh myself mm-hmm. on it.
Why'd they throw the body away? They're like, we threw it out.
Well, George, bring us up to speed on
that. They found a weird animal on Montauk, and I didn't know about Montauk having this history of experimentation.
Montauk where?
It's New York. Is it upstate New York?
I believe so.
Yeah. And so there's photos of this thing, and people are like, it's a raccoon. It's a dog that has, like, its nose came off, or it's like, it's a hairless beast with a weird beak nose. And so it's unclear what it is. And then they got rid of the body. And this was like, there was a bunch of photos of it. So then they dumped it. So
who's,
before anyone could do a
who's
a
the
real
they good, in this?
I guess, I'm guessing like the beach department, the Parks and Rec people.
Gotcha.
I don't know, like animal control.
It would be my guess that the body is somewhere.
Yeah, I would think that
in
like
in reality it's somewhere hidden or something.
Yeah, someone just do what this guy from Stanford did and just do a DNA test on it, be like, it's a raccoon, it's
right.
a dog, whatever. But then they didn't let it get to that point.
Well, thank you so much.
Dude, this was
thank
fun.
Thank you, Ryan.
I'm glad you guys watched it.
Yeah.
I know it can
no.
be it's a really kind of it's not a deep cut
because yeah.
it's on Netflix, but a lot of the stuff in there are deep cuts in when it comes to this world.
Yeah.
And
yeah, like I said, paranormal mixtape kind of.
Yeah.
And I think it could have used a little levity. That's interesting
yeah.
that you brought it up because mm-hmm. I never considered that. And
yeah,
because
you're digging it for information, whereas like we just watch so many of these things, like form starts to matter.
Sure.
You know, I was watching this right after
yeah.
watching like Kid Stays in the Picture or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely.
Which is so good.
There was so,
so good.
Much shit that was new to me in here. And. I'm very curious. I'm going to check out
yeah.
the Sirius website
yeah.
and just find out more about
it. I also
want
to tell our listeners you can watch it on YouTube as well. If you
yeah.
don't have Netflix, you can watch the Sirius documentary.
It's on, right,
on
it's on Netflix
and
right now and on YouTube.
Just a final thought for me about disclosure, if I can.
Please. As a concept?
Even if, as a concept,
mm-hmm.
even if there isn't anything there, we deserve to see, we deserved all the files in the research.
Right, like
as
freedom
the,
of information.
As
yeah.
Freedom of information. Even if there's nothing there, we deserve to see it.
Is
Stop hiding it from us.
Is Trump going to reveal anything?
I have no idea what that guy's going to do about anything.
Because that could be the thing he...
Podesta,
if he's going to do anything that we don't predict, that could be the one fun
Many
thing.
People who are pro-disclosure think it was a huge hit when she lost because John Podesta, who was her
mm-hmm.
campaign chairman... used to work in on staff for Obama, worked on staff for Bill Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Big proponent of disclosure, allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
He was even telling people on Twitter, he said his biggest regret after he left the Obama administration was that he didn't get disclosure. He tweeted that.
Yeah. No, that's definitely a big thing. He was telling people,
like, on the campaign trail to, like, media outlets, ask Hillary about disclosure. Ask her about aliens. And very few people were. Jimmy Kimmel, you can always count on. But but then you get into the spirit cooking thing, which was so fucking weird.
Well, yes. With Marina Abramović, yeah, like, that was a weird thing that people probably have already forgotten about, but they're trying to make it, like, a literal witch hunt
on
Podesta for knowing a performance artist.
Yeah.
And if you walked into my bedroom right now, you could have so much evidence and say, Ryan Singer is a Satan worshiper.
Right.
Because I've got crystals. I've got candles. I actually have an upside down pentagon or pentacle painted on some paper on my wall for something I was filming. And they'll be like, oh, so you were filming it? I'm like, yeah, it's for this thing I was filming. And they're like, oh, yeah, but you're using this stuff in the stuff you're filming and then putting out there. Why are you putting it out there?
Right.
These subliminal. And, like, I, without a doubt, would be convicted of being a Satan worshiper.
Right. Well, you heard it here first.
Exactly.
Ryan Singer is a Satanist. So, thanks, buddy.
Podcast. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You can find episodes of SupDoc on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn. Please subscribe, review, and rate.
For show notes and more information about George and Paco's appearances, visit supdocpodcast.com. You can send your corrections, questions, or comments to supdocpodcast@gmail.com.
We'd also like to thank Documentary News for their continued support. Please check out documentarynews.com.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook @supdocpodcast.
This show is produced by Will Scovel and our theme music by David Siegel.